25 years ago, I was sitting on the front porch of our house, the parsonage there on Coon Crossing Road. Those who came to RU, Pastor, they maybe can get a visual setting. Sitting on the porch, reading my Bible and praying, and I began to look at the trees. Okay? Began to look at the trees. And what I'd like to do is walk you around that lawn and take a look at the trees. Most of them were slow growing, but they grew. They were small, scraggly, but they grew. The first tree I'm thinking of, and let's make this the house we lived in, and we'll make that lovely front porch. Amen? That lovely front porch, we'll make that the front porch of the house. So as I sat on that porch, I looked off to about where the main entrance to the parking area would be, and that's where an apple tree was located. It actually looks like a wind-swept bonsai tree. Now, it's a full-size apple tree, but the bonsai? Bonsai?
Translated to black tree.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I don't know. That might have been the Dutch version, Pennsylvania Dutch version. My apologies for any different words. But anyway, that's what it looks like. Because you see, there was a concrete parking area, and it was old and it broke up. And so we tore that up, and we put in some... The problem was that there was water under it, and the water, you know, heaved it. And so we dug that up. We put some drain pipe in, and a lot of gravel and new concrete. Well, that drain pipe went out through the terrace, and the apple tree was about 4 or 5 feet from where that drain pipe came out. And what happened is it made that ground so wet constantly that the root work, okay, the tree just began to tilt. As a matter of fact, at one point I was going to cut the tree down, and granddaughter told me, you can't do that. All of us grandchildren climbed on that tree. You see, because it did lean, it was easy for them to climb on when they were young, and they all did. So it's still there. It produces good apples. Okay, we had a couple different ladies would come and pick the apples. Pat picked apples and made apple pies from it. So it bore fruit. Now, by way of an apple tree, it wasn't much to look at, okay, but it grew. And it bore fruit. Some lives may not seem like much, but they bear fruit.
Amen.
And that's something we need to remember in the church, in the Christian life. You know, sometimes we too often look at people and we judge them, and I don't mean in a nasty way of judging. We evaluate them, okay, by their personality. Some people have a very, very outgoing personality. You know, they never met a stranger. They you know, are friendly with anybody. And then some people, you know, they're just not as outgoing. They're a little more reserved and quiet. And so we too often, we look at people by their personality or by their appearance. A lot of times we'll form an opinion of somebody before we even know them based on their appearance. Whether that appearance is a favorable one or a not so favorable one. We can think highly or lowly of them by how they look. Or their talents, you know, their skills. What they can do and how they use them. And so if you were to look at that apple tree, it doesn't look like much. And like myself, you might be ready to cut it down. but it bears fruit. And in the church, there's times, there's people, they may not look like much. They may not seem like much. When I say look, I'm thinking not only now of the eyes, but just our evaluation of them. Our opinion of them may not seem to be much, but they bear fruit. Now you may think to yourself, well, what's the fruit they bear? You know, Paul told the Corinthians that everybody in every person in the body of Christ is important. As a matter of fact, the one that seems least important, he says, is the most important. So we need to get our criteria for judging people, for forming opinions in line with God. Well, that's off about, you know, where the entry to the driveway is, and I sat there. I don't know if I had a cup of coffee or not. I surely should have. Straight out front, I mean, like if you sat on this porch and looked straight out about where you would park a car were it curbside parked, okay? That's where a maple tree is. It's straight and tall. It's what I call a woods maple. In other words, it wasn't raised in a tree nursery. The fellow who originally set up the house went in the woods up behind us and he found a maple tree when it was small enough. He dug it out, brought it down, and planted it. And so Pat's one brother was visiting, and soon after we moved into that place, that was near 40 years ago, and he said, you know that tree, he said, if you top it, that's going to force it to grow out. And it'll become more bushy. Well, that sounded good to me. I said, how would you do about that? He said, well, you'd put a ladder up against it and take a handsaw and you climb up, and about 2 feet from the top, you would cut it off. And so I said, well, I'll get the ladder. Will you show me? And so he did it. He cut it off. I noticed several years ago when I looked at that tree, oh, by the way, it never did grow out. Okay? It kept growing straight up. And you could see where he topped it. And it just up around it. Okay. Now, it's out further because the whole thing is bigger. Okay? But straight up. Not out. But it grew. You know, we try to shape people's lives in certain ways. We try to squeeze people into a predetermined mold or pattern that we think would be good for them, that we like.
That's right.
Now listen, God is the best shaper of people's lives.
Yes, sir.
Because he knows if they are a bush maple or if they're a woods maple. And you can't make woods maple. Now, a tree man would be laughing at my terms. Okay? You can't make that go out. The way it is, it grows up. Now, I remember the kind of maple tree my dad had, a red maple. It was nice, big bush, you know. It grew out. You couldn't get that one to grow up. Why? Because they were different trees. And here in the body of Christ, each of us is a different person. And Paul said, by inspiration of the Spirit, we're all needed. Of course, it's proper to guide and to instruct. A parent has that responsibility with their children. A pastor with his people. Church leaders with the church members. But to guide and instruct is different than trying to determine how a person's going to be. Many a person has been driven out of the church because there were a few that knew for certain how they ought to be. But God knows how they ought to be.
That's right. Come on.
Our responsibility is to pray God's will for their life. God's will for their life, for their purpose. We have a general overall pattern. Every young person that's here, whether they're a child or whether they're a teenager, that there is an overall purpose that we adults would like to see you achieve. But the primary thing is God's will. You see, I can trust you to God's will because I know His will is what will be best for you. Why, goodness, I might have every one of you fellas in a suit and become a preacher. But that may not be God's will. And too many people have been forced into a mold that wasn't God's. And so, the maple tree, it grew. That made me think of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's good pleasure. Well, if I were to look out this side window, I'd be in the living room, and as I looked out of the living room, I saw a blue spruce. Now that blue spruce had, as you know, prickly needles. They're a pretty tree, they're a nice evergreen tree, but if you're mowing and walk into them, they're prickly. You know, and so you have to be careful. They're a strong tree, but they grow very slow. Well, that blue spruce outside of that living room window, Mom and I remember when the kids would play badminton, instead of putting the net up, they would just play over the tree. It was that low, that small. It was many years later that I stood looking out the living room window and I happened to see the tree. Now, it was there all the while, but I looked and, whoa, that tree! 3 times as big. The kids would never be able to play badminton over it now. It grew. But you see, it grew so slow, we didn't observe its growth as compared to that maple out front. It grew, but because it grew slowly, it wasn't as noticeable. Some Christians' lives are like that, slow and not as noticeable. In some Christian lives, the lifestyle of the home is such as outsiders don't see much of a difference. Now, some people, when they get saved, they come out of a lifestyle and a background that it is tremendously different when they start living for Christ. Very observable. But then for others, that's not the case. You know, those of you that they brought you from the hospital nursery to the church nursery. Okay? And you teased on the pews. Okay? And so some changes may not be as noticeable. But that blue spruce kept growing. And so it is in the church. And there's no shortcuts to growing.
No, sir.
No shortcuts. It takes 2 years to grow 2 years' worth. Okay? You cannot grow 2 years' worth in 1 year. I don't care if you talk in tongues and if you or you read the Bible 10 times in a year. It's going to still take you 2 years to grow 2 years worth. Now, here's the problem. We too often take 3 years to grow 2 years worth.
Uh-huh.
Or we take 4 years to grow 2 years worth.
Come on.
You see? And we see somebody then who grows 2 years in two, and we say, wow, they're not, it's nothing exceptional. They're just growing like they should. And that's the blue spruce. Slow but steady. Solid and strong. And they keep growing. Well, now I'd like you to walk out back, if you would, please. Because 25 feet from the back of the house, there's a pine tree, a white pine. We had a dog. Before I go on with the tree, I've got to tell you about the dog. It was a collie and German Shepherd mix. That's a big dog. And when it was a puppy, it would sit on Pat's lap. And when it was full grown, it would come and sit on her lap. Front feet off one side, back feet off the other side with its midsection on her lap. It was the funniest thing to see. Well, we put the doghouse next to this little white pine. I'm going to guess that little white pine was maybe 6 feet high at the most. The dog, when it would stand up in its back legs, would attack the tree. Okay? And of course, as it went after tree branch, which it saw the wind blowing, it'd go after that branch, and then it'd hit the branch, you know, it'd flip out under its paw, and then it'd see it move and like it was playing with it, you know. And that dog attacked it. Broken branches, twigs that were stripped off of other branches. The trunk, where it would take its chain and wrap it around, the trunk had sliced places on the bark, but it grew. Okay? Some Christians struggle to survive. Some Christians are damaged, injured, self-inflicted damage. By wrong choices or sinful choices. And as a result, they struggle to survive. Oh, by the way, there were two such trees. The one didn't survive. You know, there's other times where Christians struggle to survive, and it's from damage that's been inflicted on them by others. Something said needlessly, even untruthfully, about them. Or even if it is truthful, something said about them that, you know, the Bible says there are some sins that ought to be covered. They don't need to be spread around. And sometimes these Christians that are struggling, they're struggling because they look at another Christian whom they respect and admire, and then they learn that they're really just human, but nevertheless they're disappointed. And we know people ought not to look at each other, they ought to look at Christ, but the fact of the matter is we do see each other. And therefore we each need to be living as we should, so that we can be an encouragement to people. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine that others can see your good works. And because of that good living, they can glorify our Father in heaven." We have casualties in the Christian ranks, just like one of those trees didn't make it. But the other one did. You may be able to name somebody who was a casualty that didn't make it. You may already know of somebody who is struggling. Remember that pine tree? Wow, it's so big now. The trunk originally was about the size of my arm. Now I can almost reach around it. It grew. It survived. Oh, by the way, the dog passed on. But the tree's there.
Amen.
Now you remember that when you're struggling.
Sir.
That thing you're struggling with will pass on, but you can survive. So don't give up. Keep growing. Well, one more tree. It's off over, would be behind Dick Bolton's house. Big backyard. When I retired, I said, there's two things I want. A short driveway and a small yard. And I got both of them. Off over would be behind Dick's house. was a Japanese larch, I was told the name of it was. It's an evergreen. But in fall, it sheds its needles. And it's bare. The branches are bare, even though it's an evergreen, until spring. And then tiny, tender, delicate new needles begin to grow. And they are. You can feel them. They feel so fine and so delicate. So even though it loses them and then it grows others, and even though they're delicate and they'll fall off again the next year and it'll grow others, it grew. And like every one of these trees, it grew so high, it's hard to imagine that it was one day small. You know, that made me think of some Christians up and down, on again, off again, excited this week, then next week, you don't know where they're at.
That's right.
Okay, all enthused about something for a month, and then the next month, you don't know what they're doing because they're not around. You know, we must be careful. Now, they are ultimately responsible for their life and their choices. But we must be careful, because when they do begin again, we can be prone to be hard on them. But it's a delicate, tender time. And we must... it would be better to err on the side of being support. You know, there's just some people that when they show up again, and they've done this now, what, 5 times, 8 times? Depending how old you are and how long you've been around them, you might not even be able to count how many times they've been in the church and then they're out of the church. They're living for the Lord and then they're not living for the Lord. And we must be careful that when they come, because it's so easy to think, you again. Well, how long are you going to last this time? Huh? Or maybe I'm the only one that thinks like that, huh? And you say, well, I'm not going to be made a sucker. Now, I don't like to be taken advantage of either. But I'd rather err on the side of caution and supporting them, and hoping that this is the time that they're going to mean it. And if not, what have I lost by being encouraging and supportive? I've not lost anything, unless my pride wants to get in the way and keep me, okay? Sometimes I'd rather be an accurate prophet than I would be a Barnabas that supports somebody. So, Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again." That describes these people. Okay? They ought, they've been saved long enough. They've been around the church long enough. They've learned enough that they ought to be able to be one of the stalwarts of the church. But here they are like babes, needing to be taught rather than teaching as they should be doing. Well, God is their judge. And I need to be their support. And believe me, folks, I must remind myself of that constantly with such people. But it's worth the reminder. So, which tree are you like? The apple tree, leaning, out of shape, but growing, fruitful? Are you like the maple tree, shaped by God, even though others have tried to put you into a mold? Are you like the blue spruce, slow growing, but strong? Are you like that white pine tree, damaged by the dog? Have you been damaged by something in life, but nevertheless, you don't become a casualty? Or like the Japanese larch, unstable, on and off. Now, I say that to you, and you know, you're on. You're here tonight, okay? And one of the good things that we need to do in our praying and prayer meeting is that, you know, even as I look around, now we know we have some folks traveling. We know Sharon Battis had surgery, and so, you know, so we know where some folks are. But other than that, okay, we look around and some seats are empty. And why? You say, well, we pray about that. I don't know why. I don't need to know why, but I do need to pray. 2 Peter 3:18 says that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Philippians 2:13, remember, it's God who is working in us. Not he's going to, he is. And even if you had a bad day today, and you don't really feel all that holy, and very much prayer meeting-ish, but you're here. That's good. You see, that's part of growing. That's part of being stable. That's part of not letting the dog damage you. whatever, you know, was on you today. And just keep going. You say, well, that sounds good from preaching, but do you live that way? Yes. Oh, I mean the way of struggling. I live that way. There are times I don't feel very churchy. But I go to church.
Amen.
Now, when you see me, everything looks fine. See, now, listen, let me put a disclaimer in here right now. That doesn't mean every time I come to church, he's that way. You say, how are you going to remember it? She reminds me. Because she's at home with me, just like your wife and your husband and your children and are at home with you. And she says, well, you know, the preacher on Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago, preached a message. And then she reminds me about something I preached.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. See, she seems so nice. And she is. All I'm saying to you folks is we all struggle. The struggle isn't the situation. It's the grace of God that gives the victory. And that's what we want. So let's keep on keeping on. All right, let's do some prayer requests now. And then we'll go to prayer. Prayer requests.